Blog Talk Radio.
Yahushua HaMashiach, gracious and merciful Father, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, we lift hands before you that we may praise your name before all your creation, Heavenly Father. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for the blessing of life on this day that you have granted to each and every one of us. We ask you to continue being gracious and merciful to us all and forgive us for our sins. We also ask that you cleanse us by the blood of your Son of our iniquity, that we may be worthy to stand before you, that we may be worthy to bask in your glory and your presence. Heavenly Father, we ask you to uplift our hearts this day, that we may receive your word according to your divine will, that we may gain knowledge and wisdom, but above all things, understanding, Heavenly Father. We pray for those who are unable to make it today due to physical or mental ailments, Heavenly Father. Nevertheless, on this holy day that you have commanded, that they too may share in your joy and in your presence. We humbly and sincerely ask these things, Heavenly Father, through your Son, heir of all things, by whom you have promised eternal life to those who believe in him. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name, we give glory to thee. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shavah. Hallelujah. Welcome once again to Bible 101. This is Torah. And what we will be looking at today is the term statutes and exactly what that means and a lot of the indications regarding the statute. Okay. Now, when we think about the Torah, we just had a Bible study earlier this week for those who follow the program. And the focal point of that particular Bible study is Ma Torah, or what is Torah? And one of the things that we discussed on Wednesday night, which I'll just touch on a little bit here briefly, is remains. And for most people, as we have been taught, we believe that the term Torah refers to law. Now, it's not a bad thing to believe that the Torah refers to law. But when you look at the term and the connections etymologically with the words in the Hebrew language that are being used, you'll find that the word Torah, it doesn't just mean law in the sense that society defines the term law, but rather teaching, as we have discussed. And I believe that when you look at the Torah as being the teaching, it makes a lot more sense when you hear different terms that's being used. Our opening passage for Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5, and I wanted to use that as the opening scripture for today as well, because it does incorporate the term which we'll be looking at, statutes. And what the passage reads is, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my Torah, as we discussed, teachings. Okay? So when you look at this passage, we are introduced to a lot of terms. We've seen the word Torah we're introduced to in this particular passage, first time that it was used, okay? But not only the term Torah, we look at the term that we'll be looking at today, statutes. This is the first time that the word statutes was also used. And the word for statutes, you look that up in number 2708 in your Strong's lexicon. The word is chukah, chukah. Now, the word chukah, it says, is a feminine of another word, 2706. So if you look at that, what you actually led to is the biliteral or parent root, which consists of two letters, the chet and the kuf. Now, based on the understanding of the Hebrew language, and I should say the mechanics of it, how the Hebrew language is put together, as we've seen on numerous occasions, the Hebrew language is based off what is called a parent root system, meaning that you take two letters of the Hebrew language and you put those two letters together, and the basis for all of the words derived from that letter have something to do with what it initially means. Now, with the parent root system, you can find a lot of different things about a term once you go back to the root. Now, the word hook, wall, or your fence, and what that represents is a protection. We think about people who have fences around their homes. A lot of times, fences are installed to provide protection for the household. But at the same time, not only is that fence providing a protection for the household, it is simultaneously separating. Okay? So you can look at it in that sense. The chet is a vehicle the Most High uses now to protect and to separate. And we have to ask the question, protect who and separate who from what, when we think about it. Okay? Now, keep in mind what we're discussing. We're looking at the word statute and what the word statute actually entails. So one thought about the term statute is that it is a term that implies protection. So whatever the Most High refers to as a statute in his teaching is provided to protect us from something. In addition to providing that protection, it also serves the purpose of separating us. Now think about for them. Think about what the Most High has prescribed for his people. One of the things that we understand about Israel is that they are held to high regard, not because they're better than anybody. They're held to high regard because of something that they were given. You see, if you look in Romans, for example, the letter that Brother Shaul wrote, back to chapter 3, and one of the things that he wanted to pass along to the assembly in Rome, he asked a question in this particular portion of the letter. He said, what advantage then hath the Yahudi? Now, the fact that he even asked that question implies there is an advantage. In other words, when you look up the word for advantage in the Greek language, number 4053, the word is perisos, and the word means in the sense of beyond. Now, it says from another term, 4012. All right? 4012. And that word is through or all over. Okay? Now, back to our word for advantage. The first part of that word being all over, but then it has in parentheses, in the sense of beyond. So when it says the advantage, it also has superabundant in quantity or superior in quality. That's what it says. This is the definition in the Strong's, of course. So when we get to what advantage, in other words, how is it that these people are superabundant? That's what it's saying. How is it that these people are superior? That's what it's saying. But it's not because of them as people. When you look at the history of Israel, you see they had some characters. They were not the stand-up, upright, obedient group that you would have assumed them to be. They were totally contrary to that. But nevertheless, he's clearly asking this question, insinuating there is an advantage. Let's go back. What advantage then hath the Yahudi? Then he goes a little further. Or what profit of circumcision? And he's using circumcision as a description of these people. Now, just looking at it that way, right? Some people like to argue back and forth. Circumcision, the Israelites, they got that from Egypt. Did they really? Now, that may be people outside of the Israelite or Hebrew culture that do circumcision, but when you look at the context of the question, or what profit of circumcision, he's asking it in the sense that these people are set apart for this particular act of circumcision. If circumcision was something that everybody was doing, he wouldn't have used this to make his point. He's trying to specify something. What advantage does have the Yahudi, or what profit of circumcision, right? He says, much every way. In other words, which direction you want to come? That's what he's saying. You want to know what the advantage is to being a Yahudi? Which way you want to look at it? So it's a lot of different ways. Okay? That's the mindset, especially when you think about who's connected to these people. But this is what he's getting to. It's who they're connected to that makes them superior, that makes them superabundant. It's not the people themselves. It's what they were given. Listen to what he said. Much every way. He said chiefly, in other words, the main reason why there's an advantage to being a Yahudi is because, he says, chiefly, because that unto them were committed. Listen to that. Committed. When you commit something to someone, basically what you're doing, you are entrusting them. And whenever something has to be entrusted to an individual, what you're actually saying is that this is a valuable object. And I feel a certain way about you to entrust or to give you this valuable object. So when he uses these terms, because that unto them were entrusted, committed the oracles of Yah. And that's what sets them apart. So when you look at that first letter, of the word for statute, the chet. One, it serves to protect, but at the same time, it serves to separate Israel, the statutes that they were given. So I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to call Brother Bilal up, and he can pick up and continue with his lesson on statutes.
I know he's within this camp, you know, because the fact that my brother, Genesis 26:5, that was going to be the second passage that we go to today. You know, I apologize for being late, number one. So again, we're picking up on the word statutes, as the brother said, looking at it from a Hebrew standpoint. You have the ket, and you also have, I believe it's the kuf. It's the kuf, correct? The bringing together. So you also have a separation, but you also have a bringing together when you look at this parent root that we're talking about. Ha! For the word statutes. But Abba is always working on his people. That's number one. And his word provides things for you that sometimes you're not really aware. So I was talking to a friend of mine at work, and he was telling me about a video that's on Facebook. Just so happens that the day before or day after, one of the two, we were talking about how vicious this generation is. You know, there's, and it goes along with our opening scripture and on Hosea chapter 4. Because there is no truth there, because there is no mercy, because these things are lacking, the world is the way it is. Let's go there right quick. Hosea chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye children of Israel. For Yahweh has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of Elohim in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and again, we looked that up, for the corruption of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the Torah of thy Elohim. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their hearts on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. So this is one of the things that told Hosea to tell the children of Israel. Now, what we were talking about, me and coworker was talking about, is how vicious these children are nowadays, stabbing 61-year-old people, old women, stomping out 80-year-old men, and they're vicious. And it's like, man, we might have got the most that we might have did to a person that age is maybe disrespect them verbally. Maybe. You know, you might tell them, oh, shut up, old man, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. That might be the most. But you would never go so far as to lay your hands on an old person like that, you know. So another coworker of mine was showing me, he was telling me about a video that's on Facebook, caregiver getting on the bus. So the autistic child gets on the bus, and the caregiver is up front putting the money on the bus. So the autistic child walks to the back. And it was a gang of young men back there. And so one of the young men blocks the way because they're going to hurt this autistic child, you know. And, you know, with Darius, it got to me because I'm thinking, oh, man, that's my son. Somebody might do something to my son. That's what I'm talking about. That I got into my feelings. I got into my emotions. What ended up happening was they blocked off the caregiver. And they was talking about hurting this little child and stabbing him. So a guy stood up for that child. Said, man, y'all not about to bank this kid back here. I'm not going to allow that. Y'all not going to bank him. And one of the boys said, look, I'm going to F you up. I'm going to F him up. And all y'all going to get it. Then another kid comes around, stabs the guy. So he stabs the guy. They stomping out the little autistic boy, ends up throwing him off the bus. It gets off the bus, and they continue to beat him, you know. And all the while, he's telling me this. I don't even see the video, you know. But I'm raging. I'm bawling. And I'm like, that's my son. If that was my son, I'd kill them all. I would do this. This is what I would do to them. I swear I would take all their lives. And Abba was going, no. You can't do that. Why? I didn't prescribe that. Ah, but they're vicious. They're vicious. They're wrong. They look at them. Look at what they did to people. Look at them. Okay, there you are. Look at what you did to people. Remember that? Remember all the viciousness and all the stuff that you've shown in this world? So what makes you better than them? Why is it that your life should be spared and theirs taken? And then all that time I'm going, you're right. Shut up. And you know, when he was showing me, you're an Israelite because we have a story. And he brought to mind the story of David because David went through that same thing with Bathsheba. Nathan came to him. It was a man with a ewe lamb. And he didn't want it. That's the only thing he had was that ewe lamb. And somebody took that ewe lamb from him. And David was angered about it. Oh, my God, that person should get, he should die, he should get it. I'm going to hurt him. David, that was you. You're right, Abba. Forgive me. You know, because that's the whole purpose of the Torah, of the teachings altogether, but especially one of the statutes, the word we're looking at, something that is prescribed. Because Abba, and when we look at how this word is actually formed, some of the ways that it's been formed and some of the words that's been translated for the word statute or cook, and what it does to separate but also to bring together. That's the purpose of it. He's showing us how he wants things dealt with by his statutes, That's what we're focusing on today is statutes. All right, so Genesis 26:5, we're not going to go through that. Yaakov just went through that. This is the first time this word appears, you know, and this is something that Abraham was big up for, so to speak. The Most High popped his collar on that one with Abraham. Abraham did these things, and because Abraham did this, Isaac, you're going to receive a blessing for it. Because what your forefather did. Now, one of the things that turn here, in a couple ways it's been translated. If we look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, starting at verse 21. Well, let's start at verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 5, starting at verse 20. And it reads, "Declare this in the house, publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people." So he's calling the house of Jacob and the people of Judah fools.
Man.
Right? He said, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me?" You ain't going to respect me? Yahweh talking. I'm the one you ain't supposed to respect, saith Yahweh. "Will ye not tremble at my presence, which hath placed the sand for a perpetual decree?" And the word decree is our word hook, right? So Yahweh said, here's the sand, here's the sea. See, don't go no further than the sand, right? And it don't go no further than the sand, because that's its appointed portion. It come in, it go back out. But it don't go no further than Yahweh allows it. That's another word of the word, one of the ways it's been translated as limit, you know. It says, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the ways thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. And he's saying, y'all see this, and I did this, but I'm not the one y'all supposed to fear. Y'all out here chasing other gods, but I'm the one that set this in motion. You see it, you hear it, you see it, but I'm the one you're going to disrespect. Okay? He says, verse 23, "But this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say thee in their heart, let us now fear Yahweh, our mighty one, giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks." Now, the word appointed, that's the other word. That's the same word, cook. In other words, there is a time appointed for rain. He set that up. If our brother Shafut isn't here, but where he's from the island of Trinidad. And in their time, they had what they call a rainy season and a dry season. Here in America, we had the saying, April showers bring Mayflowers. Because it's a appointed time wherever you are in the world for rain to drop. And Yahweh appoints that time. He sets that up. You know, we don't get a whole abundance of rain in winter. It might come down as sleet, snow, or something like that. But it's not going to rain like that, you know. That is the appointed time for snow and hail and sleet and all these other elements that the Most High has, you know. But we get a bunch of rain in the spring, right? He says, he reserves unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest, all right? So with that, we're going to look at the book of Job. Chapter 28:26. Excuse me. And it reads, "When he made a decree," and again, that's our word, cook. "When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of thunder." So when we see that lightning flying through the air the way it does, Yahweh appointed it to do that. It's not just because electrons are in there and they're energizing and this, that, and another, because they energize it in different ways. Lightning don't look the same way all the time. Sometimes it spreads forth like that. Sometimes it's just one straight bolt. But however it comes, Yahweh designed it to go that way. He decreed that, right? So we're going to look at a couple of definitions, because one of the words that that's been used to use this is the word prescribe. Now, the word prescribe soon as it comes up. Oops. One second. Technical difficulties. The word describe, the definition for it is one of the definitions for it is to state authoritatively or as a rule an action or a procedure should be carried out. So, again, whenever we look at something, a statute, right, we still have to acknowledge authority. Because someone who has authority is the one giving this when we follow these statutes. And at the same time, when we break a statute, we are now defying the authority of the Most High.
Man.
All right? Because when we do these things, one of the things we have to understand is that all these things are given. When we follow them, we are acknowledging that He is in control. He is the King. In all our actions. That's what we're stating to the world. That Yahweh is the authority. He's the authority. He's the head in charge. All right? He says, another definition. It says, advise and authorize the use of, it says, a medicine or treatment for someone, especially in writing. Right? Because the word prescribe actually comes from the Latin word pray or pry, which means before, where we get the word pre, and scribe, which means to write. So it comes from, and when you put those two words together, it says prescribe, which means to direct in writing. So what we have with the statutes is directions in writing, right? He's actually given us, he wrote down directions for us. Right? And how to handle things. Another way, another word that this has been defined as is the word enact. E-N-A-C-T. Or enactment. We're going to look up the word enact. It means one of the definitions. Make a bill or other proposal a law. Put into practice. Or act out on stage. So he wants us to do these things. Put these things that I wrote down for you, these directions that I wrote down, put them into practice. Act them out in front of people. Right? Another definition is appoint. This means assign a job or role to, determine or decide on. The archaic definition is decree. Decide the disposal of, and this is a law term, decide the disposal of under powers granted by the owner. So, again, he's appointing something to us. This is your role. So, when we have something going on, let's say we have an issue, which we're going to look at, right? Let's go to the book of Exodus, the 21. Starting at verse 18. A controversy within Israel. And this happens right after the Ten Commandments, the giving of the ten words, right? He says, Exodus 21:18, he says, if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rises again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. So You got two guys fighting. They get into an altercation. They start swinging on each other. A guy knocks another dude out, right, to the point where he's has to lay down, right, basically knocking him, put him in a coma, right? If the guy comes out that coma, can walk again, he's good. If that guy dies, he's in trouble, right? But he says you have to pay him for that time and cause him to be thoroughly healed. You're supposed to take care of his medical bills. That don't happen in this world. Not very often. We see these little fights with the incident earlier. That guy got stabbed. Them kids' parents are supposed to take care of his medical bills. That's what's supposed to happen in this world. This that kid and the little autistic boy is supposed to be taken care of. They didn't die, but they're supposed to be taken care of so they thoroughly heal. And they're supposed to be compensated for their lost time, according to Torah, right? These are the rules which were written down for us and for this situation, right? He says, verse 20. He says, if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod and he die under his... Oh, I'm sorry. 18, 19. Let's jump down to 28. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. Let's jump down to 22. Sorry about that. That's not right. Let's go back to 20. I knew it was the reason why I wanted to keep reading. Right. So this is the continuation of that law. It was the four verses. I just forgot to write it down. He said, if a man smite his servant and his maid with a rod and he die under his hand, he should be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he should not be punished, for he is his money. So it was a difference in that time. He made a distinction between the maid, the hired hand, and a free man, your neighbor, right? Verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So a man hurts a woman who's pregnant, that child dies. He has to pay as the judging, as the woman's husband determines. That's what's written down. That a lot of times don't happen. A child, they get into an issue, a guy hurts this woman, she loses a child, this guy gets angry and takes that man's life, you know, a lot of times. But what Yahweh said and what's written down for us to prescribe, hey, man, whatever the judges do, that's what you pay, right? As long as that woman stays alive, you know, the seed is lost, but as long as that woman is alive, the man sets a price that man has to pay, but he gets to keep his life, right? He says, verse 23, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. But if that woman dies afterwards, now, gotta go, you know? So thinking about that, you know, and one of the things that's like a hot topic on the thing on in this world is pro-life, pro-choice, and how people see fetuses and unborn babies. Well, one, you're not supposed to abort, number one. You're not supposed to abort. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the pro-life people are the ones who say this is pro-choice is the people who say, this is my body, I can do what I want with it, and if I choose to abort this child, I can do it. Well, one, you're not supposed to abort, and two, you did choose to do what you wanted to with your body. You chose to lay down with that man. You chose to have sex with that man. You got pregnant. That's what happens when you have sex sometimes. It happens. That's a very distinct possibility. So now, because you did that, now you are taking away this child that's within you. You know, that's not right. That's murder. You're not supposed to do that. You know, it's not like you was like this, like in this scenario, fight breaks out, and you, bam, something happens with that child. Mm-mm. You are now saying, mm-mm, this child got to go. I'm taking the life of this child, you know. So that's what just, that's what came on my mind. So let's jump down to verse 28. And it reads, if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox with his horns in times past and have been testified to his owner, and he have not kept him in, but that he have killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So you got an animal. You got this ox who's running around goring people. This animal gores somebody for the first time. Nobody knows. It's out of character for that animal. The owner doesn't get put to death. But you got an ox that is known to do this. It's an ornery animal that if anybody get close to him, is goring him, is killing him. You done told the owner. The owner does nothing about this ox. So now he's liable for the deaths of these people. And he's getting put to death. Verse 30, unless this happens, if there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. So now, have mercy on me. Let me pay you for this life. That's an option for him. You know, I know no sum of money can bring back that life, but allow me to bargain for my life. What is it that you want? Let me keep my life, you know. He's asking for mercy. He's literally asking for mercy in this scenario. Whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment, shall it be done unto him. All right? So this is the prescribed manner in the different scenarios that the Most High wants us to do within these different scenarios. So any questions or comments before we go on? Yes, sir. Honestly, because I was what came to my mind was about the actual goring of the ox. That was the first thing that came to my mind, and I know that the Most High has different scenarios. But when you're talking about the death of a person, you can't get much bigger than that. You know, I think that's why the Most High put that on my mind. Because you're talking about a life, you know. And we get real emotional when it comes to life. You know, we get real, especially losing somebody in a violent manner. You know, we are people who are revenge type. Like I said, if somebody did something to Darius, it'd be on and popping. That's the first thing that's going through my mind. I want to hurt you. But Yahweh said, vengeance is mine. This is what I prescribe. You don't go out and take vengeance on somebody because they did you wrong. You know? Because if that's the case, wouldn't nobody be left in the world? That's the truth of the matter. He said, I have a controversy with you, Israel. There is no mercy in the land. Nobody has any mercy on them to the point where, like, and beat up a child who's defenseless. You know, he can't fight back. He doesn't even really know what's going on. He don't even know he's being set up. You know, he doesn't have the mental capacity to figure this out. And you go stab him for what? You stabbing an 80-year-old man? He's knocking on death's door as is. You don't need to kick it in for him. For what? You know, the Most High, he looks on these things. You know, one of the things that I read, we read today, and he's talking about the angels. He's talking about his people. And he talks about how their angels, his little ones' angels, are always at the Father's face. Always. We always getting reported on. Always. But that goes for them evil folks too, because they got angels, just fallen ones, and they always at the Father's face too, snitching on them. They always getting reported on, you know. But back to your question. When you think about death and losing someone, especially in a violent man, vengeance goes through your mind. You know, that's the emotion that comes on. You know, me just even hearing about that and putting myself in that place and hearing, it welled me up. I was angry.
Right.
I didn't even see the video. I just heard about it, and I was angry.
Right.
You know, but, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but they are like, but it falls under judgments. This falls under judgments. But like I said, but this is something that is written down for us to follow within the Torah. You know, because these are different scenarios where these things happen. You know. But if you read the very first verse, it calls these judgments, you know, from the very first verse. But still, these are statutes also, because, you know, it's written down for us.
Well, that's why I asked that. There is a difference.
Yes.
When you think about statutes, that's why I said laws, statutes, judgments.
Yes.
That's why I asked that. What you just said, scripture shows justice.
Yes.
So there's a difference. I understand what you said as far as even judgment you can look at is pride from that perspective.
Right.
But you do want to make the difference. That's what a judgment is when you start telling the situation occurs, this is how you're supposed to
be. Right.
The statute is supposed to be different.
Right.
The statute may be, well, go ahead and go see what's left in your life.
Okay.
All right.
So let's look at, All right, let's go to, I'm going to Matthew chapter 18. Because one of the things that we was talking, what came to my mind was, you know, the differences in Israel, right? Why is it that Israel really don't get along? We have all these issues within Israel, you know, because it's something written down for us how we ought to handle it, you know.
Right.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Yahushua, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Yahushua called unto the little children, called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as this little child, as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. For whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs to be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." So Yahushua is describing to them who is going to be greatest in the kingdom.
Right.
First thing he said, be humble like a kid. You got to humble yourself. That's going to be the greatest person in the kingdom. Offense is going to come. People are going to offend you. That's what he says. But woe to the man who the offenses come. Right? He says, verse 8. "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast thee, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather having two hands or two feet, and be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into the life with one eye, rather than having two eyes and be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save. If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these ones should little perish. One of these little ones should perish. So he compared it to having 100 sheep. One leaves. When it returns, it's a joy for that shepherd to find that one that he lost. Why? Because the flock is together again. The fold is complete again. He says it's not the Father's will to lose anybody. Right? He wants everybody within his fold. Right? So, after saying all that, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. So, he didn't say all this stuff about being humble. He didn't say all this stuff about returning to the flock. And now he's going to get down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak. Right? He says, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee. And this is written down for us how to handle it. This is the prescription for handling this situation,
Man.
These situations.
Man.
Why can't Israel get along? Why are we always beefing? We don't follow the prescription.
Man.
We're not doing what was prescribed for us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Amen.
Them two alone. You don't bring somebody in from jump.
Right.
See if you can work it out for yourself. Why? If your brother trespass against thee, like the brother said, it can't just be a title. Right? If you have a blood brother, me and my blood brother business, but I love my blood brother. There's nothing we can't work through, you know.
Right.
To this day, he cussed me out a couple of months ago, then called me on my birthday, happy birthday, you know. That's how it is between brothers, you know. We're not going to see eye to eye on everything. We're not. That's just the truth of the matter. But we ought to have enough love between us that we can work through it. We ought to have enough respect between us that we can work through it, right? So he says, him alone, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established.
Amen.
So the mouth of two or three witnesses. So now you need a mediator, right? You got to talk to somebody because he's not seeing your point. You're not seeing his point, right? It's getting a little crazy, but this is the prescription, right?
Right.
So he says, every word may be established, right? And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the assembly. But if he neglect to hear the assembly, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Right? So this is what you're supposed to do. This is the prescription for that. First of all, you go between you and your brother. If he don't want to hear you, then you bring a mediator in.
Right.
That the words are established. This is to get the story straight.
Right?
Right? Then the witnesses go, and everybody goes between, goes before the assembly. And if he neglects to hear the assembly, because after he hears the assembly, now a judgment is rendered, right? If he neglects to hear the judgment, publican and sinner. That just means he's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway, because he wouldn't hear his brother, he wouldn't hear the witness, and he wouldn't hear the assembly. So he's just going to do whatever he wants to do anyway, right? He says, all right. Verse, what verse was that? Verse 18. Told I, okay. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on the earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Master, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? So Peter getting it. I got to forgive my brother. That's another key to it. You have to forgive your brother. You have to. If you want him to come back within the fold, you have to forgive him. He says, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Yahushua saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So whenever he offends you, you forgive him. Because when you come in before him, it's for y'all to be reconciled. You can't be reconciled if you haven't forgiven them. If you haven't forgiven that brother, ain't no point of bringing in and talking. Ain't no point in it. Ain't no point in it, because you're just going to hold a grudge. And then the next time it comes up, this incident going to come up. And if he offends you again, that same incident going to come up. And if he offends you again, because he's going to offend you again. That's why Peter asked that question, how often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? Your brother is going to offend you. He is. You know, I got younger brothers. Like I said, they're offensive. They do some offensive things. You know, but you forgive them. Right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Any questions or comments? Yes. Verses 1 and 2. And it reads, brethren, if a man be taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So you got a brother overtaken in the fault. Maybe he offended you, right? Consider yourself. That's what Abba had to do with me, with that situation, with that child. Consider yourself, Daywell. What if vengeance just keeps on going? What would be left? And sometimes those scenarios pop up for you so you can understand something about you, something that you need to work on. Maybe mercy ain't in you. I need you to be more merciful. Maybe hypocrisy might be in you. I need you not to be so hypocritical. Think about yourself in these things, you know, because sometimes we don't want to give a hard look at ourselves, you know, but Abba do. Abba wants to get that sin out of you, right? He says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know, don't go to that brother harsh. Restore him in the spirit of meekness. Why? Because it's going to come around to you, considering thou also be tempted. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so forth the law of Messiah, or the teaching of Messiah. Why? Because he bore our burdens. How many times did he say, how long shall I be with this unforgiving, this unbelieving nation? They don't believe me. These people just don't get it. How long am I have to suffer with y'all? We should be the same way. We suffer with one another. So what, you just don't get it? We'll be there until you do. That's what you do with brothers. You know, your daughter put on Facebook that the five-year-old learned how to tie her shoes after being shown one time. Yay! She's real happy. I'm like, nah, I wish. You know, because tying shoes is always a rough thing for me to try to show my sons and my daughter. My daughter is left-handed. So with her, everything had to be backwards. I'm right-handed. I couldn't show her how to tie shoes. She had to actually watch Barney. Barney showed her how to tie her shoes. But she learned. You know, so you have to bear that burden. Because I didn't want to tie bows all the time. And like, girl, you old enough. You're supposed to be knowing this. And we feel this way about some things. What about some folks who've been walking this way, and you feel as though they should know stuff? But it's not for you to say. Bear that burden. Things you ought to just get, but they don't get. Bear that burden. You who are spiritual, have enough love and have enough mercy to bear that for your brother and your sister. You know? The seven. Verses 1-5. And it reads, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Okay? So Abba gave us, like the brother said, law, statute, judgments. But Messiah is saying, judge not, that ye be not judged. Right? So let's keep reading. He says, verse 2, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Right? So, whatever judgment you give somebody, that's how they're going to come back. You got a harsh judgment? We are people of revenge. Harsh judgment coming back your way. Don't expect honey from vinegar. You know, don't expect it. But if you give, like the word say, soft word turns away wrath, that's the prescription for it. You know? He says, for whatever judgment you judge, that's what you're going to get back. Verse 3. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye?" This is why you don't have harsh judgments. Because somebody can get, you're not perfect. Somebody can catch you on something. You're not doing right all the time. You're not. This is why you don't have those harsh judgments. Because when the harshness comes to you, you ain't going to like it. Right? He says, "But consider not the beam that is in thy own eye." Verse 4. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." It's like what Paul said. It's okay to revenge disobedience after your obedience has been fulfilled. You can't be talking about how somebody ain't doing something right if you ain't doing everything right.
Amen.
You know, that's the point he's making. Once you get to that point, now you can see clearly how to do this thing. But that lets us know we ain't seeing clearly all the time. We're not. Sometimes we get so focused on others that we lose focus on ourselves. Right? He says, oh, I'm sorry. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Some people, they come at them too soft and never get it right.
Mm-hmm.
It is a time just when you have to balance it when how you have to come at it. Certainly, you come at they crash.
Right.
When you're going up,
right.
Gradually, they can't handle something. There's nothing but corrective criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people, the way you had it. I grew up in a house, came at you rough. And I grew up, I knew I can't start in the military. Certain people come at from break down fire, whatever. What then I had some of my women so from too. And still of course we got to know it and get them to a level. You realize you have to come at. And just let everything slide.
Agreed.
Some people ain't gonna never get it right.
Agreed.
You don't bring it to their attention.
See, that's the thing. The word ain't talking about letting it slide.
Because
he says, if you have an ought with a brother, that means when that brother offends you, let's take care of this right now. Let's still talk about it. So you're not letting it slide. But you are right. Some people you have to be a little more candid with, you know. But in you being candid with that person, you don't have to take it over the top. You know what I'm saying? You know that, you know, we brothers. I could talk to him a certain way. I can talk to him a certain way. Talk to him a certain way. You a certain way. You know your brothers. You know? The way I came at my younger brother, I couldn't come at my youngest brother. The one he was the one I had to be candid with. He was the hard-headed one, the knucklehead that just wanted to challenge you with everything. You know, my youngest brother, I could talk to him like a normal person. You know? Because he's one of those laid-back type people where it's, oh, okay, all right, no problem. You don't want me to do that no more? No problem. I don't want no issues. You know? But my young girl brother, the one directly under me, man, you old chump, he's the one that cussed me out. Because he called me everything. You know? But you know that from dealing with brothers. You know? You understand the different relationships with people. You know? So you're right. Some people you have to be a little more candid with so they'll get it, you know. But in still, that's a certain type of meekness with that person too, because you don't want to lose them. The whole point is to restore them,
right.
Them back to get y'all back in life standards, you know, because we can't have no breaches in Yisrael.
Right.
Can't. You know, we can't have brother against brother, sister against sister, brother against sister. We all this foolishness going on. And that's what you have in Yisrael going on. That's what's going on. That's why other camps get together. That's why you can't even talk. You know, you can't talk about certain stuff. Certain words come up. Instead of you saying, okay, Aki, what do you mean by that word? No, it's paganism. Y'all out of the word, and it's that. That's the type of response you get, you know, instead of them saying, well, what do you mean by using this term?
Right.
Or explain yourself or something like that. Something that will keep the conversation going and keeping us coming this way instead of going this way,
right.
You know. And that's what you have going on in Israel, you know. But, yes, sir.
And I don't think the pastor was talking about not time, but those make those folks on my health problem.
Right.
And I think what you're saying, don't ready to have health, have health. I don't think it's a health problem. When I have to hard. When I hear the word, let me tell you what I'm. You better get yourself together. Something like that. Well, you don't necessarily have to say it like that to be Christ, because it was powerful. You understand?
Right.
You can still maintain some type of respect when you talk to them. It's not that they sometimes it's going to be highly defensive, and they're going to be ready to just go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the manner in which, and like you were saying, you want to build a full defense.
Right.
So in another place, he says how dark answer turns to a flag.
Humble yourself. By them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and he's saying all that to establish this point, thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against you. So now you bring something to give to the Most High, and now you remember, oh, I got this issue with this brother. I mean, this brother got an issue with me. This is what you're supposed to do. This is the prescription. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So how important is it for us to be in harmony in the eyes of the Most High? Don't give me nothing until you fix what's right in front of you. That's what Yahweh is telling us. Don't offer me up nothing. Sacrifice of praise. Don't give me praises if you got beef with anybody that you see, any of your brothers, and your brothers got beef with you. Get that right first. Then offer me up some stuff. That's what you do, right? So, you just want to say something else? Okay. He said, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Verse 25, agree with thine adversary, not brother now, because y'all at odds.
Right.
Agree with thy adversary. This is how y'all seeing one another. Y'all at odds. While thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you up to the judge. So you at fault, and you know you didn't wrong your brother. You're at odds with your brother. So agree with him quickly, right? He said, or he's going to offer you up to the judge, right? He said, lest any time the adversary deliver thee up to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. In other words, you ain't going to come out till you get right with your brother. We're not supposed to be throwing each other in jail, right? We're supposed to be going to one of brothers and sisters in the spirit of meekness and getting rid of these problems, getting rid of anything that comes between us. That's what the Most High wants of us. That's what he's written down. It shouldn't be no issues within the house of Israel.
Right.
Why? We're family.
Right.
You know? He don't want us to be a dysfunctional family. He
right.
wants us to be a family that functions correctly.
Right.
You know? We already saw what happened with the dysfunctional family. It ends up with brothers taking one brother and selling him into slavery. Going back telling their father that their brother died, bringing him some torn up clothes with blood on it. Can you imagine how he felt when he saw it?
Amen.
Can you imagine the pain that he was feeling, that his youngest boy at that time, you know, died.
Amen.
And all his brothers just sitting there lying to their father. You know, when we read the Torah, we see a dysfunctional family.
Amen.
That's what he saw. That's what he's showing us. You know? So that shouldn't be happening now. Because he's giving us ways to correct it. He's showing us how what he's showing us what to do and how to stay away from these situations. You know? So if you got an issue with your brother, talk to him about it. There's an issue between you. Hey, come here, let me talk to you. If we can talk to each other about the game, we should be able to talk to each other about the issues.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
So the book of James, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Yes, the book of James, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy. So if you're not showing no mercy, when it comes time for mercy to be shown to you, don't expect none. If you are judging without mercy, if the death penalty is all you're giving, when it comes time to get it, that's all you're going to get is the death penalty. Right? He says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy is way better than judgment in the eyes of the Most High.
Amen.
So back to what Hosea said. I got an issue with you, Israel. There's no mercy in this land. Everything, like we read, you heard of old time. You take a life, give a life. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. These are a mindset we need to get out of, you know. We have to be more merciful, especially to one another, especially to the household of Israel, you know, especially because it's us against them, you know. It's like that basketball team. If you downtrod a guy who misses a shot every time, every time he come down, he miss. Oh, son, you sorry. You're a bum. You're a bum. He's not going to want to play no more. But if he come down and miss and you go, one good shot, son, you're going to get the next one. You know, you build him up. That confidence keeps on going, and eventually he's going to start hitting. You know, and that's how Israel should be.
Right.
We're supposed to be building each other up instead of tearing each other down. All right? So any questions or comments? That was the last scripture. Any questions or comments about anything? This is the prescription for us to get right with one another that was laid down for us. You know? Yes, sir.
One thing you said.
That's right. That's right. How can you say you love a God you don't see and you hate the brother that you see every day? How is that? How is that possible? You said you're lying.
Right.
You know? It's the truth of the matter. You know? And when we go through, when we look at the history, a lot of liars in Israel, boy. A lot of liars in Israel. You know, it's our lineage is something else. But still, Abba entrusted us with his word.
Amen.
But still. That's our saving grace. You know, that's our saving grace. He still picked us. Our little, man, I get to thinking about how he described us when he first took us out of Egypt, because everybody want to try to make Israel this big warlord tribe, like we was just running out. When we first came out of Egypt, I ain't going to take y'all this way, because if a war break out, y'all running back. Y'all a bunch of scaredy cats. So I'm going to walk y'all 40 years around this way. We're going to take the scenic route to make sure y'all don't get into too many fights. Everybody want to make Israel out to something that ain't. But the one thing we are is beloved of Yahweh. And that's what counts. Yes, sir.
But they did become
that. They did become that. Eventually.
They became that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did. We got there eventually.
Yeah, we got
you know, but they like to leave out the that part.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. 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 Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was always a couple. I mean, because he sent out the 12 spies. Only two out of the 12 were thorough. There was only two. There was 10 punks and two that was like, come on, let's go get them. The 10 was like, I don't want none. But, you know, eventually we did get there, you know. You know, and I really think that's one of the things that, you know, Israel had humble beginnings.
Right.
Like really humble beginnings, you know. And in our humble beginnings and us becoming great, we lost something. I really think that, you know, when we got to the height where Yahweh took us to the height, we lost that humility, you know. Because even think about what Jeremiah said. Y'all don't fear me. I'm not the one to be feared. I made this, I did that, I did this, I do this for you, and y'all don't fear me. You know, it got to that point. Even what David did, you know, he went to number the people, knowing it was wrong in the eyes of the Most High. Knowing it. You know, we lost something in that greatness, you know, when we got to the peak, you know. Well, at least we're aware of it. And, you know, told our Rabbi for his word, he gives us a chance to correct it, you know, because it don't have to stay that way.
Right.
You know, when we see something happening, we get a chance to correct it. You know, as long as we got breath, we get a chance to correct it. So, any other questions or comments about anything? All right. Well, that ends is the lesson. Can you pass me that book, please? Oh, it is? Oh, well, here. All right. Kokun Yisrael.
Hello, Father, allow us to
you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous of all generations, trustworthy mighty, who says and does and fulfills all whose words are true and right. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, almighty, and trustworthy are your words. Now, one of your